the dating capital of the world. It's The Dating Game. And here's the star of the show and your host, Jim Lyon.
Oh, all right. Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you, and welcome to The Dating Game one more time. And here they are.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is March 2nd, 2014. My name is Jason Block. I am here as part of the WLTI Live crew. We are doing a special roundtable extra edition celebrating the life and career of one of the most iconic old school game show hosts in one, Jim Lang, who passed away this week. I would like to introduce my panel with me, the co-host of WLTI Live, Chico Alexander. How are you, sir?
Pleasure to be here as always. How are you, sir?
Good. Engineer and sound man extraordinaire from New Jersey, Mr. Jim Williams.
Pleasure.
Good to have you here.
Pleasure to be with you. Wish the circumstances were better, shall we say, but glad to be here anyway.
Exactly. And a couple of Brians with us here from Tennessee, Brian Henniger. Good to have you here.
A pleasure and a privilege as always, Jason.
And an occasional contributor to the CLW83, Brian Sapinski. How are you, sir?
Doing fine as always.
Okay, so here is why we are here. Jim Lang passed away due to a heart attack at the age of 81. He was pretty much what a lot of the game show people were and are still to this day, a radio guy more than anything else. Now, Jim, he actually got on the air at the age of 15, which was pretty amazing.
Yeah, he got his career started off after winning an audition in the native area where he grew up, near Minneapolis. He had Gentleman Jim, as he came to be known on the air on the West Coast. He got his start winning an audition as a teenager in the Twin Cities, and not long after high school, it's boom, right into the University of Minnesota, boom. Right into radio. He also then would go out to the left coast, and he would make both San Francisco and Los Angeles his radio home for the better part of 40-45 years.
Now, of course, he was also a member of the Marine Corps, Semper Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Now his network television career started with, you know, working with Tennessee Ernie Ford, where he was the announcer and sidekick to, you know, of course, Tennessee Ernie Ford. But in 1965, the show that pretty much defined his career came on the air, which was a little show called The Dating Game.
Straight out of Hollywood, the dating capital of the world, as you all well know.
Yes. Now, this was created by Chuck Barris.
And if we are to believe what he said, it was just a front so he could commit assassinations for the CIA.
Yeah, but in his second book, he basically said that was not true, but yes,
yeah.
Understood.
Yeah, but,
we all knew that to be not true if you ever saw the movie. So
yes, okay. But I'm going to start to go around the panel, all right? I have to ask you, why was Jim Lang so successful with that particular format? I'm going to start with you, Mr. Sapinski. Why do you think so?
I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't necessarily know that it had as much to do with him as it was, you know, what was being presented, because that was definitely more oriented and driven by the people who were, you know, the actual contestants, because he didn't actually have to, you know, have to coax anything, you know, out of them. He just needed to, you know, keep it moving and just let all of the, you know, the wild and strange, unexpected answers and admissions just, speak for themselves.
Okay. Brian Henniger, do you agree, or do you think it was more the format or him?
I think a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. One of the great strengths Jim Lang had as a broadcaster, and this goes to every show he did, and I'm sure we'll get to all of them today, was that he was one of the great, what you would call a traffic cop MC, that he knew how to get just enough excitement out of a moment, but also knew when to rein it in and when to start controlling it, and he was good at it. And you know, you got to admit the guy. I mean, if anyone could make a powder blue tuxedo with a ruffled shirt look good, it was him.
Chico, do you agree, or what's your thoughts on this?
Well, my thoughts have always been that Jim Lang was the ringmaster on The Dating Game, trying his damnedest to keep the lion tamer away from the lions, so to speak. If you've ever seen your typical episode of The Dating Game, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, I mean, I don't know necessarily about that. Because to me, Jim, I think, remember, The Dating Game was was the first of its kind back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because if you remember, The Dating Game was part right in the cultural revolution of the 60s. Okay? You know, we're talking about interracial dating. Because did they do interracial dating back in the day? I'm not sure.
Might have. They might have here and there. But,
you know, but remember, this was the hip and happening 60s, and he was part of that other generation of the 40s and 50s.
Mm-hmm.
But he made it seamless, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, and that carries in throughout his whole career, going back into radio for half a second, because just about all of his career in radio, he played what is affectionately known as the music of your life, that kind of music that is deemed quote-unquote square music. Because he was that kind of a guy. He related to that time period, the 40s and the 50s, like you said, but he made it all seamless. The best way I can say Lang's tenure with The Dating Game, what I can compare it to or categorize it is this, and Brian really hit it on the head. He played the perfect traffic cop. He let the game and the contestants shine. He didn't have to do the poking and prodding and needling, but like Bob Eubanks did years later on the Newlywed Game. He could take a step back and rein people in when needed, and he just let the game shine and the contestants shine. Again, traits that you would see on many of his other shows, mostly less successful, actually all of them less successful, than The Dating Game.
Right. I mean, he was so defined by that show. He hosted the show for a network run, two syndicated runs, and a revival, you know?
Mm.
So to the point where he was almost typecast.
Just about.
On this show.
Just about. Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
Well, I can remember back in the 90s, I did a TV show called Muppets Tonight on ABC, and they did a parody of The Dating Game, and Kermit the Frog was the host, and he was wearing a Jim Lang style tuxedo with the big glasses and the comb over on the hair, because
mm-hmm.
you associate that look with Jim Lang, and you associate Jim Lang with The Dating Game.
Exactly. I'm gonna have to find a picture of that now.
Oh,
right, exactly.
Look on the internet. There are tons. Let me tell you,
it's on the. There's something
on the internet for everything, folks.
I'll find it for you.
Yeah.
Right, and if you remember, and again, Jim Lang, in a way, that particular style. I mean, you know, we can talk about all the celebrities on The Dating Game. I mean, and to the point where even today, the format is on Let's Make a Deal as The Dealing Game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's true.
Okay, so, I mean, that format's still around, but in a way, though, he was so typecast, Jim Lang, that the other shows that he did, it was the exact same sort of style. In other words, I'm not saying he was inflexible, because that's sort of a bad way of doing things, because he also did a show, and again, he was also part of a second first in game show history, which we'll get to in a minute, but he also did a show called Bullseye, which I liked, which was sort of a Joker's Wild type of a show,
yep.
in a way, kind right. of.
Joker's Wild.
It was.
Meets Contract Spades.
Yeah. Right. And also a show called $100,000 Name That. He also was one of the hosts of $100,000 Name That Tune as well.
Mm-hmm.
which he
I
did
actually
very...
liked him on Name That Tune, and forgive me for saying this, I liked him more than Tom Kennedy.
He was very good. I actually think that he was a better fit for Name That Tune to me. I'm not saying that Tom Kennedy wasn't bad, because he was awesome. Course. Okay. But I think he was also – he was as good a fit in Name That Tune as he was for the Dating Game.
I would agree.
I have to agree. And can I bring up something here?
Sure.
I think it speaks to his background in broadcasting, his background in music – to speak to how he was so good and how he was so able to move the show along and, you know, build rapport with the contestants on Name That Tune. So that really did something. His early radio days coming back into play.
Oh yeah,
and also his later radio days. Mm-hmm. Okay, because he was on KSFO from 1971 till 1983. Okay. Then was on KMPC till 1990.
These are powerhouse stations, by the way, on the West Coast. So, yeah.
Right. Okay. And he also did mornings on a show called Magic 61. I mean, he retired in radio out of 2005. So, he would, you know, everyone remembers him as the Dating Game, $100,000, but he was a radio guy afterwards for like 25 years.
I think he would tell you, to a certain extent, first and foremost, his first love and his biggest love was radio. He did it, and he did it damn well for so many quality stations in San Francisco and Los Angeles for parts of five decades, really, when you get right down to it.
Exactly. I mean, that's, again, it's you also notice all the successful game show people out of that era were radio people.
Wink Martindale. Yeah, Bill Cullen, Jim Lang.
Bob Eubanks,
exactly, of the same mold. That's where Barris plucked him, out of radio. Many like Eubanks and Lang were hits. The likes of Clark Race, not so much. I guess he did one of the other lesser-known Barris games. But that's where he went. That was his pool.
Right, exactly. I mean, and even today, I mean, look at. I mean, Pat Sajak is a radio guy.
Right.
Jim Thornton's a radio guy. Rich Fields is a radio guy.
But nowadays...
Carson Daly?
To an extent. Yes, Carson Daly. Right. Well, I mean, but nowadays radio is the exception rather than the rule. We need to get a comedian. We need a Wayne Brady. We need a...
Right, but I'm just... But I'm talking about... But in this era as we're... Oh, and also, don't forget Bob Barker, because he was a radio guy.
Of course.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Sure.
Okay. Uh-huh. So we're talking... Lang was in that sort of circle.
Sure.
I mean, he was the radio guy first into television, okay? Mm-hmm. And then after he did this... Lang hosted a show which I absolutely loved, and yes, it was an absolute ripoff of Wheel of Fortune. Mm-hmm. Wheel of Fortune ripoff.
Yeah. Oh boy!
Called $1 million chance of a lifetime, mm-hmm. or actually $1 million over a 40-year annuity. But we're not going to go into that.
Let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Okay.
Although
it is a million, no matter what way you slice it.
What'd you say?
A million is a million no matter what way you slice it.
Yes.
Right.
Although I want to say this, that name, the $1 million chance of a lifetime, I'm sorry, that is the coolest name of a game show I've ever heard in my life. I'm sorry. I like that title.
I'll back you on that.
because remember, back in 86, 87, 88, $1 million on a game show was not heard of before then.
That's correct. I mean, the biggest thing going around, you had Name That Tune for off and on several years for $100,000, the $100,000 pyramid. That was kind of the benchmark ceiling prize, and now you're playing the game and adding an extra zero at the end.
Right. Yeah, before that, the closest show that came to that was when Joker's Wild had their big tournament.
Sure.
Right.
Remember, that wasn't $1 million straight. That was $1 million prize pool.
Right. No. Right. No. No. Exactly. Yeah. But like I said, that was the closest to any show.
True.
Yeah, even for the winner was still getting $250,000 for themselves and $250,000 for the charity they were playing for.
Sure.
But like I said, just in terms of that single win, that's still the closest to any other show had come to giving away that kind of money.
Up until that time, yeah. And researching the show after reviewing a couple of clips that were posted, okay. The show itself, not so much.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very simple formula.
Too simple.
Way too simple.
And too simple to win the money, if you ask me.
Yes. You should not have gotten $1 million for getting 6 puzzles in 60 seconds 3 days in a row.
Thank you.
But that's not why we're here, okay? Right. We're not here to criticize the show. We're here. He was a very, very, again, good conduit. See, Lang's, again, his strength was moving the show along. He was, as you said, the traffic cop.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And he worked best rooting for civilian contestants. And I will emphasize the word civilian contestants because we may talk about, to be fair, some of his other shows where he worked with celebrities, Hollywood Connection and the celebrity version of Bullseye, where he felt a little bit out of his league. And that isn't so much his fault as it is maybe the celebrities putting him off a little bit. But when you have a game where he's in charge, you can tell he really wants the contestants to win. That's a sign of a great game show host. He puts them at ease, makes them feel comfortable, and truly wants them to win.
Mm. I mean, again, you know, he did another version. He was also a host of something called the New Newlywed Game at one time.
For a week during the Winter Olympics of 84,
Okay. And then he did shows called Spinoff, Triple Threat, Give and Take. And the last time he was on TV that, you know, at least from a game show perspective, was on the late – was on Hollywood Squares for Game Show Week, which was awesome, by the way, if you don't remember
that. It was. Extremely, yes.
Okay. But, again, he basically was in radio until 2005 and basically just retired and basically was out of the public eye for about 10 years before he passed away. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, because in an article, in his obituary, he had stated, that he's told the San Francisco Chronicle in 1991 from the New York Times piece that the dating game stigmatized him. He said he wouldn't have been considered for commercial because he was so identified with that one image. Do you think the dating game image hurt him?
To a certain extent, yes. But I will broaden it out a little bit. It goes for all game show hosts. Whether you like it or not, if you're a game show host and you have a successful game show, that's all you ever become in this world, a game show host in the eyes of the media, in the eyes of producers and television networks. Yes, you can have bit parts here and there, but it's you, the game show host, showing up on a TV show. So I think that stigma goes with anybody who's a successful game show host. Bob Barker, he would only show up as himself, Bob Barker, the game show host, on How I Met Your Mother or any other show you want to insert here, on Raw or whatever. You know, Pat Sajak would show up as Pat Sajak. You're the guy from Wheel of Fortune. You know,
that was on Sullivan and Son.
Sure, exactly. And and Rugrats.
Oh, I got a good example of that. If you remember Mallrats, who played the game show host in Mallrats?
Art James.
There you go.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. I mean, yes, it was a tough, but the thing is Jim Lang will be known for being part of and defined of one of the most culturally significant game shows of all time in the dating game. Mm-hmm. Yep. Brian, I mean, Mr. Brian Sapinski here. I mean, right. How important was him to the dating game, per se? I mean, I know I kind of asked this question, you know, earlier. But what I'm saying is that his legacy is that he will be associated with that show, one way or the other.
And not just even that show, but again, knowing what we said at the beginning, that was the first of that kind of, you know, genre of show. And what we see nowadays with all the other different kind of, you know, dating shows and reality TV, you know, everything always comes back to, you know, the original source. And in his case, this show, the dating game is it. We wouldn't have things like Blind Date, The Bachelor, and all these other things if this really didn't happen first. Or at least I don't think so. I don't think so.
I agree.
I mean, because again, see, to me, Jim Lang was one of those guys, and again, I may be repeating myself here. He was one of those guys in that circle of people we talked about before. Wink Martindale, Bob Barker, Bob Eubanks, old school radio guys who just happened to get lucky in TV. And I don't mean lucky in the sense of he was handed to him.
Right place, right time sort of situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect storm.
Yep, because, you know, you showed me a clip. You showed me a clip of Jim Lang being Jim Lang on the Super Mario Brothers.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Oh, this was classic.
Damn you, Sapitsky, for bringing this up in the first place.
Yes.
Okay, we should probably...
Hey, when you can mix two of your favorite loves at the same time, how can you go wrong?
Well, considering it's you, I mean,
okay. Before I have to start playing Traffic Cop, we should probably set... damn you, Sapinski!
Calm down. Okay. Let me set this up. What happened was is that Luigi was playing a game show host because he hit his head. Okay.
He got cooked.
Yeah, son with the furnace bonked in the head
and he turned into a game show host. So Mario asked Jim Lang for help. And they turned it into a game show. And as a matter of fact, Jim, would you mind putting that audio in right about here? Why don't we just take a listen to that?
Hey, paisanos, it's the Super Mario Brothers Super Show!
Hi, Mario. I came over just as soon as I got your call.
I mean, Jim Lang, man, thanks. I really appreciate you coming over. I need your help.
No problem. Why do you need the help of a game show host?
Well, it's something about my brother Luigi. I mean, something happened to him.
Well, thanks for watching, friends, and tune in next time when our super double whammy jackpot will total $100 zillion and 80 cents. Until then, see you next time.
Jeez, I see why. Well, I'll try my best. You know, I remember one time... There was a contestant that came on.
But, Jim, what about my brother Luigi?
Oh, yeah, okay. Excuse me. Mr. Host.
Please, I must remind all contestants not to shut out their answers. You must ring your bell in order to be recognized.
Ring my bell?
I'm sorry, sir, but your time has run out. But we don't want you to go away empty-handed. We got some lovely parting gifts for you. Tell them about it, Johnny.
This is going to be harder than I thought.
I'm sorry, sir. That's not the right answer. However, you do win the first 2 hours in...
I mean, oh, man, if only I would have listened to my brother Luigi and fixed the furnace myself, none of this would have happened.
Hey, that's right. I got an idea. Mr. Game Show Host.
Are you ready with your answer, sir?
I believe that your super-duper jackpot furnace has burned out.
I do believe you're right, and we can't allow that to happen
to
the furnace. Would you hold that for me, sir?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Luigi, are you okay?
Luigi, are you in there?
I smell pizza!
He's cured!
Jim Lang, I got smacked by Jim Lang!
Luigi!
I can't believe it! Thanks, Jim Lang! You're the greatest game show host in the world! In the universe! In the galaxy,
thank
even!
Thank you, Mario. Hey, you know, that reminds me of a show we used to do, and we used to say goodbye in a special way. Would you guys help me?
Sure!
Are you kidding
me? Come on, let's go.
This is my dream!
Okay. Sure. Jim Lang. You guys help me do this now. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here we go, to say goodbye. Okay. Everybody out there,
okay.
Come on.
I'm sorry, but that's not the right answer.
Oh, ever. No. Oh.
Till next time, everybody. To Mario!
All right.
Can I point something out here, guys?
Please do.
Yes.
Okay. Mario in the clip was played by Captain Lou Albano.
That's right.
God rest his soul. And Luigi was played by Danny Wells.
Who just passed away last month, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. It was a couple months ago. Yeah, it was very recent.
Okay.
So now we have Jim and Danny and Captain Lou together again.
But it also illustrates a very important case study for all you kids out there. When you're going to give that big dating game kiss, watch your arm movements, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly.
Watch your arm movements.
No. And you could see it coming.
Right. You're now, right. Here, by the way, now, I want to also just show an example of how he was the traffic cop
mm-hmm.
and how well he was the traffic cop with a guy who was one of the perfect people to throw things off the bus.
Is this what I think it is?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
this clip was supplied by Jim Williams.
Mm-hmm.
The clip we're about to hear is Jim Lang with a guy by the name of Andy Kaufman.
You may have heard.
Yes.
Boy.
Okay. And let's listen to how well Jim Lang makes sure that the train still is on the tracks. Jim Lang, Andy Kaufman, Dating Game.
Andy Kaufman was on one of the very best Dating Games. Was Andy Kaufman before he was Latkai and all the taxi and all the things that happened. He was, he wanted to be introduced this way, that before the show, we had a dropout. And we had to go out on the street and find this guy.
And bachelor number three, sad to say, canceled out at the last moment. So we grabbed the first man we saw hanging out on Hollywood Boulevard. We just threw him into chair number three. We know virtually nothing about this man, only that he calls himself Baji Kimran. Baji, welcome to the Dating Game. Welcome, Baji.
And so we introduced him and kept it very straight. And he sat there and he played it like Joe Schlub.
Bachelor number three. It's the holiday season, and I'm Santa. You're on my lap. Little boy, take it away.
What? Wait a minute. Wait. I don't know what she looked like. Could I see what she looked like?
No, you can't. You can't, number three. No.
Oh, all right.
That's part of the game. You just have to stay there and answer as best you
but
can.
But I don't know who she is.
No, I know. But
I'm Santa.
Imagine she's beautiful.
Yeah?
I'm Santa. And
Santa
you're
Claus?
Little... Right.
But you don't sound like Santa Claus.
Okay.
I mean, he sat there and he's going, why don't you ask me a question? How come I didn't get a question, Jim?
I must say, this bachelor number three did not seem to know the rules. He was a last-minute replacement on the show. Bachelor number three didn't show up, so we just found him out on the street, and it was very nice of him to come in. Baji
no.
Kimran, Baji,
but
come on and say hello,
no.
please.
You mean I did
yeah,
not
no.
win?
No.
I did not, no.
Come on, Baji.
No, I won.
No.
No, I won. But I won. I won.
No, you didn't.
But I answered all the questions right.
No, Patrice didn't choose you, Baji.
But I answered all the questions the right
way.
Come
on over, Baji.
No.
She'll give you a kiss.
No. All of the questions no, the right way.
There is no rights, you see.
But I was honest about it all.
I know you were.
I was.
Especially, I like the one about wanting food for Christmas. I like that. But, Baj, I'm sorry you weren't sure. We do have some gifts for you. We have prizes, okay? Okay? No, don't be too bad. Maybe you can come back. Would you like to see him come back again, folks? See you come back. All right. Thank you, Baj. See you come back and join us again, okay? Go rest. You can go now. That's it. No, Baj. No, that's it. I'm sorry. I've never quite seen anybody take it quite that hard.
And we got letters. People felt so sorry for this guy. He wasn't using the name Andy Kaufman at the time. But it was one of the funniest, especially if you're in on the joke, shows that we ever did.
And that's pretty much how it's done.
On so
yeah.
many levels. And I want to give credit, of course, to Wink Martindale on his Facebook page. He put the original extended interview clips that Jim had with Game Show Network, he and his posse, shall we say, and Wink's on Facebook now and sharing all sorts of neat things.
Right. Yeah. Go ahead, Brian.
And my favorite part of that whole interview was like 10 minutes long, well worth your time, mm-hmm. is him talking about the story where, I don't know if you guys heard it, where they used to keep track of the couples that were that one on the Dating Game mm-hmm. who got married. And they stopped after about 20 because Chuck Barris apparently got blackmailed by one of them.
What? Really?
Yeah, I'll share this real quickly. And it's in this video, and we should post the link if we're able. But Jim said that he and they're getting ready to do a big episode for Valentine's Day. and they wanted to find a couple that had been on the dating game that stayed together and were going to get married. And Chuck and the network were going to pay for them to get married and have a honeymoon. And they were filming it before Valentine's Day. Well, they found a couple that said, we're going to get married and we're going to do it. It's going to be great. They're spending all the money. The couple goes to Chuck before everything over and says, we've talked it over and we're not going to get married unless you pay us $50,000.
Blackmail.
Yeah. And the thing was, is that they had Chuck over a barrel because he'd already spent all this money to promote it. So Chuck and them sort of clandestinely agreed to a payoff of some kind. They did the show. They did the film. He then drove him out to Tijuana and got him married. Kept tabs on them until after Valentine's Day because they couldn't lie. And once Valentine's Day was over, he said, okay, you can do whatever you want. And they went to Reno, Nevada and got a quickie divorce on the 15th.
Wow.
Oh, and who knows how long in advance and how far in advance that show was recorded. So it could have been weeks or months conceivably before that they had to agree upon everything. So
there was a story where one of the contestants on there was like wanted by the police.
Oh yeah.
Well, no. It gets even better than this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys who was on there, it was a serial killer, actually.
Yes.
Yeah,
his name is Rodney Alcala is the guy.
I remember now.
Okay, he was on the show during his murder spree. Okay.
And yeah, after best place to hide out.
Of course.
And after he was on his murder spree and had been convicted of rape in California. Whew, crazy stuff. Okay.
And you talk about the dating game, bringing it back full circle and how well Jim Lang hosted everything. Look at who came after him. Elaine Joyce lasted a season. Jeff McGregor a couple of years.
Brad Sherwood
for a couple of
years. That about that season, the better.
And then a year or two with Mr. 2-2 himself, Chuck Woolery.
Yeah, Chuck Woolery. Yeah, no one could fill his shoes.
Right.
No one could fill Jim Lang's shoes even close. Okay.
Although out of any of them, Chuck was definitely the most appropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, by then we were in a totally different era of TV that by now the format had been played out enough that you're right, it wasn't going to be the same anymore.
This was
still good, but not the same.
This was pre-Bachelor, basically.
Mm.
Pre-Bachelor, pre-every dating reality show.
Eliminate.
Yes, eliminate. Yes, and all that stuff.
Thank you.
But now, I want to just end it this way. First of all, I just want to get your final words, Brian. I want to start with you. Your final words on Jim Lang.
Just from beginning to end, just total class. Completely suave. All the way through. He fits the role so well between radio, between game show. It's just there are few that were better.
Brian Henniger, your thoughts?
He was one of the most dependable MCs that you could have had at the helm, at the front of a program. Who, if he was going to host a pilot or just a regular show, you knew you'd get a good performance. And he knew how to get a moment out of contestants who otherwise probably couldn't have gotten it. And some people have complained he over-explained things too much. I don't believe that at all. I really think he was class in every way, every sense of the word. He will definitely be missed.
Chico, what are your thoughts on Mr. Lang?
My thoughts on Mr. Lang, pretty much, simply put, an example of doing what you love and loving what you do right to the bitter end. If you remember, he got his start in radio. He loved it so much, he got his finish in radio. And, in between, he had the dating game and Name That Tune and Bullseye and a bunch of other of our favorites. And All I can say, he is about as versatile as any game show host can be. But I'll tell you what, those 30 years, 60s, 70s, 80s, hell of a ride, man. There will never be another Jim Lang.
Amen.
Jim, what do you got?
You know, one's testament, you know, in the game show genre and broadcasting is the number of hours you can provide enjoyment and entertainment. And he gave us thousands of hours, both on radio for decades and on television. Versatility, yeah, that fits the bill. I mean, he did panel shows. He did quiz shows. He did million-dollar jackpots or you want a date to Tipperary, for goodness sakes. He ran the gamut. And his legs are definitely missed, no question about it. An excellent communicator, and all in all, just a great gentleman. All in all, Gentleman Jim, we will miss you.
And you know, not a decorated veteran, but a veteran of the United States Marines. So you do not forget that as well. I want to end this show, and I want to thank everyone for coming here, with a pretty iconic piece of music. If you know of The Dating Game, you know this piece of music I'm about to play. It was done by a little band called Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass. And Jim, if you would like to play and end this out, because, you know, this defined Jim Lang and, of course, defined The Dating Game. This song is Spanish Flea. Good night, everyone.
Wait, before we go, I think we should, in honor of Jim Lang,
yes,
give our listeners a big fat Dating Game kiss. How about?
Yes,
I knew that was coming.
Well, can I just say one last thing before the kiss? As Jim would say, I hope you all find the date that you really want.
Yes. Goodbye, everyone.
Mwah. Mwah.